Hello, and welcome to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And this month we've been talking a bit about SharePoint, and specifically SharePoint in the cloud, which presents certain challenges. And today we're going to talk a little bit about SharePoint development and some of the challenges and issues there. So, you know, SharePoint Online has been a pretty big success for Microsoft, and it's offered low-cost content management and collaboration. But most SharePoint implementations grow and change at a pretty fast rate, and that requires the development and testing of new functionality on a regular basis. And that development can be cumbersome, even prohibitively difficult, if the limitations of the Azure environment aren't taken into account and compensated for. SharePoint developers who have built successful sites and pages can find themselves frustrated when confronted with these issues of managing SharePoint in the Azure cloud and developing for it. So today I have with me Scott Robinson, a consultant and SharePoint expert. So welcome, Scott.
Good afternoon, Lauren.
Good afternoon. So as always, I have quite a few questions teed up here for you. And my first one is, what's the difference from a developer point of view between SharePoint on-premises and SharePoint online or in the cloud?
Well, that difference from a developer's point of view is an elephant in the room. It is absolutely huge. I have spent the past few months working for a Fortune 500 company, one of the biggest companies in food service. It's a one big corporation that owns a whole lot of food chains. And the big project has been a SharePoint Online deployment of gargantuan proportions. And I have working with me a SharePoint developer. He's a young guy, very enthusiastic about the product. He's got a strong Microsoft background. And on a daily basis, he walks into my office and he bangs his head against the wall and he looks like he's just going to, you know, rip the ceiling down. He gets so frustrated. The big difference is this, Lauren. If I'm working as a SharePoint developer in an on-premises deployment, then I have access to the client side and the server side of my SharePoint transactions. If I'm deployed in the Azure cloud using SharePoint Online, I only have access to the client side. I don't have access to what's going on the server side. Microsoft handles that. Now, part of that we like because that means that we pay a much smaller bill because we let them handle it. The other side is that we don't have access to the server logs when things break. We only get Microsoft support in troubleshooting something if everybody's having a problem. Their service agreement does not provide for my specific problems. I'm kind of left blind, basically. So a developer has to learn to work with one hand tied behind his or her back when dealing with SharePoint Online. And that's a huge, huge problem.
Right, so real issues of visibility and transparency and also performance.
Yes.
And support.
Yes.
Big problems.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so, but isn't it true that there are cloud environments where those restrictions aren't as challenging?
Now, you're right about that. And the truth is that every cloud environment is going to have these difficulties to greater or lesser degrees. You may be aware, I'm certain you are aware, that Amazon's cloud has been picking up steam lately, and it's a different can of worms there. It varies from cloud environment to cloud environment. Now, Microsoft really suffers from a lot of its deficiencies because it is so large, because there has been so much uptake of its services, because its growth has been so explosive over the past couple of years. And the thing is that from a resource management standpoint, Microsoft's policies are particularly restrictive, but they really have to be. We can't really look at them and say they're a villain. Yes, my developer friend comes in and bangs his head on a wall every day, and he's very frustrated, and I don't blame him. But when you ask what could be different about this, you don't come up with a lot of answers. I mean, in this particular engagement I'm on, a Microsoft representative comes by once a week. And he does everything he can to be accommodating, but he usually just has to shrug his shoulders. Because the truth is, it's simply not cost-effective for Microsoft to cater to my particular development issues. if they change something in a tenant and change something on their servers and it affects every client that's running on those servers, okay, that's something they need to address. But if it's a problem that's specific to my code and my customizations, I'm out of luck.
Hmm. Okay, so now let's dig into some of the examples of the kinds of issues that developers might confront.
Okay. Well, I mentioned a minute ago the lack of server logs. Now, if you're a developer, you come to rely upon server logs whenever you're doing meaningful troubleshooting on some web application. Server logs are gold in terms of letting you know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. They're exhaustively thorough. And so most developers come to rely on them heavily when troubleshooting and debugging. Now, when it comes to the Microsoft environment, we can't touch them. Microsoft is not going to release its server logs to anyone. Why? Well, there's a certain level of legal exposure. If I'm Microsoft, or really if I'm any cloud service provider, and I'm out there and something goes horribly wrong in my environment, it's not really something I want to broadcast to the world. I'd rather just, you know, fix it and be done with it. That's really nobody's business if something went wrong in my environment. The thing is that does constrain the developer, because that major debugging tool and troubleshooting tool is denied the developer on the client side. Not a whole lot that can be done about that. Another big problem is that in the cloud, in the Azure cloud, Microsoft will roll out updates and patches to its servers on its own schedule and on its own time, and I don't know ahead of time when that's going to happen. It can be anything from Windows Server on the front end to SQL Server on the back end. They can roll out changes, and if something in their patch or something in this new release is affecting my code, then my pages are going to break in production for all the world to see. And there's nothing I can do about that ahead of time. I'm just going to suddenly have a production outage or some loss of functionality in production, and I didn't see it coming. There was nothing I could do about it. I just have to live with that. There's no way to test ahead of time, which if I were in an on-premises SharePoint 2013 deployment, I could test everything out, and before I applied the patches or before I applied the updates, I would know ahead of time if it's going to cause me any trouble, and I would already have allowed for it. I don't have those luxuries in SharePoint Online.
So now let's just touch on some possible ways that developers can cope with these restrictions.
Well, we don't want to overstate and say that Microsoft is utterly closed-mouthed and secretive about these things. They don't broadcast their intentions ahead of time in general, but there are some things that can be done. For instance, Microsoft roadmaps everything that's coming up in terms of changes to SharePoint, changes to SQL Server, you name it, they are careful to let the world know, hey, this is coming. So getting out on Microsoft's sites and becoming familiar with those roadmaps is a very positive step. Major rollouts, they will send out alerts 2 to 4 weeks ahead of time, letting you know when something big is going to change. Now, this doesn't apply to the subtle little patches. It doesn't apply to the stuff that hits you from out of nowhere that Microsoft is very quiet about. But some of the big stuff, if a developer just gets in the habit of checking every few days on Microsoft sites and becoming aware of the major rollouts and the things that are coming up ahead, then at least there can be some anticipation. There can be some setting aside of resource or, just having your ear to the ground in terms of potential problems. You know, if there's a big rollout coming next week, then I can at least be on alert for the fact that I might have to go in and do some patches on my client-side code. So that kind of awareness and diligence is definitely a positive step. A big thing, the single biggest thing that I can do as a developer, to spare myself grief, however, is to strongly discourage my stakeholders from customizing the environment. If I can persuade the powers that be that it's better to use out-of-the-box SharePoint Online than to go in and customize it, then I save myself grief, I save them grief, I reduce risk, and I save money. So that's a huge thing I can do.
Right, because as is often the case with these cloud-based systems, like all the individualized customization and tweaking is not really good for making it work at scale.
It really is not. It can clobber you dead.
Well, we don't cover SharePoint development a whole lot. So, Scott, so many thanks for shedding light on some of these issues. I really appreciate
it. Sure. Happy to do it.
And I have a feeling we'll be meeting again soon on some other topics. So, and for more on SharePoint, check out searchcontentmanagement.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.